Welcome to Juneau Afternoon. You're listening to KTO FM in Juneau. I'm your host, Mark Wheeler, today. Today on Juneau Afternoon, we'll learn about the upcoming Brakes driver training with guest Carol White of the Taylor White Foundation. Zach Edwards will be here with details about Saturday's interactive card game Historical Quest. We'll talk with this year's Alaska Folk Festival guest artist, Cy Khan. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. That, Writer's Almanac, music and more, today at 3 o'clock, right on the money on KTO News. And if you missed a Juneau Afternoon or want to listen again, you can catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news at ktoo.org. We'll hear National Native News next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A hearing to stop the auction of dozens of objects believed to be from Southwest tribes was held today in Paris. The items have not been authenticated, but are said to include Hopi and Zuni artifacts. As KUNM's Carrie Young reports, a French judge is expected to decide Friday whether or not to let the sale take place.
Survival International, a nonprofit group that lobbies for the interests of tribal people, secured the pro bono services of lawyer Pierre Servan-Schreiber to make the case to suspend the auction so that the origin of the sacred objects could be determined. Without a ruling to halt or delay the sale, the Nuray Manet Auction House in Paris plans to move forward with the auction on Friday afternoon. Tribal Councilman Gerald Huey of the Zuni Pueblo says he's opposed to the auction, adding that the artifacts in question are sacred, and the idea that a market value has been assigned to them is offensive.
There is no dollar amount that we can put onto them. They're considered our fathers, and we treat them as such. The people or entities that are doing this auction should respect the Native American tribes and their cultural and traditional practices, and to give back the items to who they rightfully belong to.
The auction house maintains that all of the sacred objects were obtained legally and has ignored requests to return them. For National Native News, I'm Carrie Young.
A Wyoming tribal leader says that Native nations need to make sure they're protecting their natural resources. As Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhorov reports, he discussed those views at the Building Tribal Nations Symposium in Laramie this week.
Eastern Shoshone Business Council member Wes Martell from the Wind River Indian Reservation spoke during a University of Wyoming American Indian Studies program this week. Martell said tribes need to be more careful about the kinds of contracts they enter into for energy development. He added that water is the new gold, but very few tribes are taking real steps to secure this resource.
It's really critical that tribes start laying the foundation for claiming their water rights. And the way you do that is by developing tribal water codes, a tribal water law. And we need tribal water laws because Western water law cannot protect our water rights the way we need to protect it as Indian people. We have a special spiritual and traditional attachments to the water. Our elders call it the water of life.
Martell said that many younger tribal leaders lack the historical knowledge to contextualize some of today's issues and hence do not have a good handle on sovereignty. He encouraged the youth in attendance to study for technical and engineering jobs so they can better administer development on tribal land. The event gathered tribal leaders from around the country. For National Native News, I'm Irina Zhorov.
A group representing most of Oklahoma's federally recognized tribes is uniting in efforts to deal with the state. As KGOU's Kurt Gwartney reports, their first task is a new tobacco compact.
Citing a general level of disinterest from Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon's office in addressing Native American issues, 25 tribes have signed on so far to become part of the revitalized United Indian Nations of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas. A news release from the organization says the dismantling of the Oklahoma Indian Affairs Commission, which provided a liaison function with the governor's office until it was replaced by one person serving as tribal liaison, is one reason they're coming together. The statement also says the tribes were not consulted when Fallon decided to not let the state take part in the federal health care law, and they say the governor's administration has been noticeably silent regarding the Indian Child Welfare Act case pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. Last year, Governor Fallon told the tribes their agreements with the state that let them sell tobacco products would expire June 30th. Wallace Coffey is the chairman of the Comanche Nation, a member of the group. He says the state of Oklahoma is treating the tribal governments as Indians, not enterprises. A spokesman for Governor Fallon said she's dedicated to having good relations with Oklahoma's tribes. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
During this month, in 2012, the Lower Elwha-Klallam tribe announced it was named Conservationist of the Year. The Northwest chapter of the Society of Ecological Restoration awarded the Washington tribe and two people. They were honored for dam removal and ongoing watershed restoration efforts. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. Your host, Mark Wheeler, today. With me in the studio is Carol White. And on the phone, we have Rowdy Justice. Hello, Rowdy.
Hello there, guys. How are you?
All right. Let's start with you, Carol. Can you tell us a little bit about the Taylor White Foundation?
Sure. Taylor White Foundation was formed in 2009 after my son was involved in a fatal car accident. Pretty challenging to get past something like that. And one of the things that his friends and our family wanted to do was to make something good happen. We felt like if Taylor had lived, lots of good things would have happened as a result of his life. And so we wanted to carry on in his stead. So the foundation formed and did a documentary as the first project because the kids really felt like if somehow they could have connected with that idea that this could have happened to them, they might not have taken some of the actions they did. So we started with that, and then we did a car display, and we just keep moving along trying to create an environment in Juneau that makes it so kids have the skills they need to be healthy and safe and sort of have motivation to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful to make a positive out of such a tragedy. Can you tell us about what the event you're planning now?
Yeah, we are really excited. We're going to be doing this brakes training with Rowdy and 15 other people out of the brakes organization. And brakes stands for Be Responsible and Keep Everyone Safe. And one of the things that I really love about brakes is I think their motivation for forming was very, very similar to ours. Mm-hmm. When Doug lost his kids, he also gathered his son's friends around and said, what do we need to do to make a difference? And Rowdy, you can correct me if I don't have that total story right. But I think I really appreciate the place that they're coming from. And they certainly have the skill and expertise as drivers and racers to be able to show our kids what they need to do to stay safely on the road.
That's great. So, Rowdy, what do you plan to do when you come to Juneau?
Well, you know, I think Carol touched on it. You know, the tragedy is what spurred this on, and so it brings about within us a great passion for what we're doing. And education, more than anything, is of the utmost importance, and the awareness of driving is, you know, is looked upon as being a fun thing when you know, young people first start to do it. And while it is a fun thing, I think no people are better to illustrate that it is something that needs to be dealt with great respect and a healthy respect, better than racers. And so we kind of bring that to the table. And the approach we take is that, you know, it's a little bit like playing baseball. You know, if you're just given all the rules, how good of a baseball player are you? Well, probably not very good. So we take it to a hands-on approach and a dynamic approach where we treat driving as a craft. You know, it's something that we practice at, that we've been trained at for years and years. And so we take that approach to it, and we kind of try to, you know, help young people approach it that way as well. So education is everything. And along with that, a healthy respect that it is something that can end up in tragedy as it has for so many people. And doing this, you know, just about every single person I've ever met has been touched in some way. So dynamically, what we do is we're a little bit different from a lot of the other driving schools and teen kind of driving events that people go to, in the sense that 80% of what we do is behind the wheel. So what we offer is a four-hour program where a young teen and that hopefully their parents or an adult comes along, and both of them are educated and so somewhat informed of what we're doing, so that it can be, you know, continued along, not just a one stop, hey, we did it and we forget most of it. But we definitely encourage both participants to get involved. So dynamically, we have them come in. We have a little bit of a ground school, what we like to call a ground school. And we kind of teach them about basic vehicle dynamics and how to go about controlling a vehicle. And most of that is being prepared and being aware. And then the second is the actual physical dynamics of it. So a couple of the courses that we have out there is a distracted driving, and which, you know, we have a closed environment to where nothing can happen, and to where we can really take it to the edge of the limit without any impending doom, so to speak, and really distract them to the point where they would be distracted. And we go about it in the same way that they would be distracted on the road by their friends in that manner, or changing radio stations while trying to see a street sign that we pointed out or something while trying to execute a driving maneuver. And people, and the kids are shocked when they can't navigate that maneuver.
Uh-huh.
One of the other things is basic car control with a skid pad where, you know, traction, whether it be by water or some sort of sand element, we put the car in a bit of a spin to try to get them to correct it and teach them how to do that. And with the kind of extreme weather that you guys experience up there, I imagine that would be a great tool for them to be able to apply.
Yeah,
and
you might get some snow this weekend, Rowdy. We have it snowed about 3 inches last night in Judah, so the weather just changes day to day up here.
I hear you. Coming from Southern California, it's a little bit more of a challenge. I imagine that some of the kids up there might have a little bit more experience with it and thereby maybe easier to instruct.
So you're a race car driver, is that right? Are all the instructors that come down, are they going to be racers?
Yes, they are. We feel that it's a great background to have because I think I touched on it earlier. We've got a healthy respect for it, for driving. And people think, these are the guys, are the crazy guys that go out and just go fast. And it's not that way. It's a craft for most of us that were the living at one point. And so we take a definitely more, an educated approach to it.
Well, that's great. And it's a really unique opportunity for kids in Juneau to meet a race car driver because, you might not know this, but we don't really have racetracks here in Judah, so it's a great opportunity. So thank you for coming to our town. We hope you have a great visit. And Carol, do you want to tell folks how they can sign up for this?
You bet. We still have some slots. This school, if all four of the sessions fill, will be 144 kids that will go through that training.
Wow.
That represents about 10% of the kids in that age group. That's a significant number of kids, and
yeah,
I think enough to make a difference. So we're wanting every one of those slots filled. So if they go to the taylorwhite.org training page,
uh-huh,
we have a link that takes them right to the Brakes registration. So it's pretty easy to do.
Does it cost money to do it?
It doesn't actually cost money if you show up. It
okay.
only costs money if you sign up and don't show up. So
okay.
there is a $99 registration fee that, even though it's too late to mail it at this point, bring it with you to the beginning and they give it back to you at the end.
Okay.
It's really more about making a commitment to showing up so you don't take somebody else's slot.
Wonderful. And do you have sponsors that help put this on in Juneau?
We have been overwhelmed with the generosity of the community. This has been an incredibly complicated project to put together and wouldn't have happened without UAS donating their parking lot and their classrooms and Mendenhall Auto giving us the use of their cars for the weekend and CrossFit Fund giving. The sponsors are, there are about 30 sponsors, and these are significant contributions that they've made.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we're grateful.
Can you say the time and location again?
You
for
bet.
Folks?
The training will be happening out at UAS's Auk Bay campus in the major parking lot. The first session is at 8, goes 8 to noon. The second session, 1 to 5. And check-in is at the pavilion that's at the top of that parking lot. So if you haven't registered but you want to just see if there's a slot, come on out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for bringing this great program to Juneau and for all you do for kids in our community.
My pleasure.
Okay.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 11th of April, 2013. It's the birthday of Marguerite de Navarre, born in Angoulême, France, 1492. She was the daughter of a count and a mother with high aspirations for her children, so Marguerite learned Latin, Spanish, Hebrew, and Italian. She read philosophy, read the scriptures. Her younger brother Francis became the King of France, and he'd always looked up to his big sister, so he asked her to join his court, and she did, and she advised him on all sorts of things, on diplomatic affairs, and why he should employ Leonardo da Vinci and Benvenuto Cellini at the royal court, and why he should try to reform the Catholic Church. She tried to mediate the religious conflict between Catholics and Protestants, and to protect reformers like John Calvin, even though she didn't agree with him. It's the birthday of Dorothy Allison, born Greenville, South Carolina, 1949. Grew up desperately poor, but she was inspired by the confidence that her teachers and classmates had in her. She said, because they did not see poverty and hopelessness as a foregone conclusion for my life, I could begin to imagine other futures for myself. She was the first person in her family to go to college, and there in the late 60s, she was introduced to the feminist movement, which she said was like opening your eyes underwater. Wrote a memoir about her childhood and family history called Two or Three Things I Know for Sure, and wrote a novel, Bastard Out of Carolina, which she's best known for. Dorothy Allison, who said, people want biography, people want memoir. They want you to tell them that the story you're telling them is true. The thing I'm telling you is true, but it did not always happen to me. Here's a poem for today by Stephen Dunn, entitled Wild. The year I owned a motorcycle and split the air in southern Spain and could smell the oranges in the orange groves as I passed them outside of Seville, I understood I'd been riding too long in cars, probably even should get a horse, become a high-up, flesh-connected thing among the bulls and cows. My brand-new wife had a spirit that worried and excited me, a history of moving on. Wine from a spigot for pennies, langoustinas and angulas, even the language felt dangerous in my mouth. Mornings, our icebox bereft of ice, I'd speed on my motorcycle to the iceman's house, strap a big rectangular block to the extended seat where my wife often sat, hot behind me, arms around my waist. In the streets, the smell of olive oil, the noise of men torn between church and sex, their bodies taut, heretical, and the women buttoned up or careless, full of public joy, a Jesus around their necks. Our neighbors showed us how to shut down in the afternoon the stupidity of not respecting the sun. They forgave us who we were. Evenings we'd take turns with the Herald Tribune, killing mosquitoes, our bedroom walls bloody in this country known for blood. We couldn't kill enough. When the Levant, the big wind, came out of Africa with its sand and heat, disturbing things, it brought with it a lesson unlearnable of how far a certain wildness can go. Our money ran out. I sold the motorcycle. We moved without knowing it to take our quieter places in the world. A poem entitled Wild by Stephen Dunn from his collection What Goes On, published by Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Kathy Roach, Joy Biles, be well. Do good work. Keep in touch.
Be a part of the music, the moments, the magic. That's Juno Jazz and Classics. Headliners Arlo Guthrie on Friday, May the 3rd, and Booker T. Jones on Saturday, May the 18th, as well as great classical music, jazz, and blues. And don't forget the workshops, masterclasses, weekday lunchtime concerts, and the annual Community Day on campus. Get more information and tickets at jazzandclassics.org, 463-3378, or at the door for Juno Jazz and Classics. Music, magic, don't miss it.
All right, we're back on Juno Afternoon. It's 3:20. You're listening to KTO FM. I'm your host, Mark Wheeler, today. With me in the studio is Zach Edwards, going to talk about the historical conquest game. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you for having me.
So what is this game?
This game is an epic card game. It's called the CCG, the category. It's basically a collector's card game where people can play much like the predecessors, Yu-Gi-Oh! Pokemon, but at the same time, it's with historical figures instead. So you can battle, let's say, Timberland, who is it was the guy that made Genghis Khan look like a schoolyard bully, against someone like Eric Bloodaxe, who was a Viking.
Uh-huh.
And you can battle these different people in different countries during different times. Say, like, they could be battling in Germany during the time of the Great Depression.
Huh.
And these type of things will bring up morale or help you to reach your ultimate goal, which is world domination.
World domination. And so what did you create this game? Or
I did, a few years ago. We actually came up with the first edition, and we're about to come out with a second edition. It was actually a class assignment back in college.
Uh-huh.
When I was in college, my teacher told me to come up with a product that would change the world.
Uh-huh.
And so we decided to make entertainment collide with education.
So what are you hoping to achieve with this game, then?
Actually, we'd like to go nationwide. Within the next week or so, we're going up to Anchorage, Soldotna, Fairbanks, and we're going to be debuting the second edition. In a few months, we're going to be going down to Arizona. We have a convention down there that we're going to. We have Historicon in Virginia in July. And then we have two really big ones. We got Chicago in November and New York in February. And both of those are the largest toy conventions in the world, one for the public and one for distributors.
Cool. So what's going to happen here in Juneau around this game? Is there something coming up?
Yep. Actually, on next Saturday, on the 20th, we have at 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock, we have a tournament going on where anybody can come. You can have a deck. If you want to buy a deck beforehand, you buy them at Imagination Station or at Hearthside Books, or you can come and play with our sample decks. We'll have some decks so that people don't come with them. They can play and have a feel of what this game is about.
Uh-huh. Where can they do this? Where's it going to happen?
This is going to be at the Valley Library.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be in their meeting room there.
At what time?
At 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock.
2 till 6, okay. Yeah. So how long does it take to play one of these games?
A game actually depends on your ultimate goal. One is you can have world domination, which means you take all of your land from your opponent. Or you can have peace and prosperity, which is increasing your morale to about 3,000 points. So if you go with morale, games can last about half hour to an hour. If you do world domination, you can go from half hour to 2 or 3 hours. It's also comparable to like Risk, where you're trying to get everyone else's land.
Okay.
So the games could be very long or very short, depending on what your goals are.
Okay. So if they want to learn more about this game, where would they check it out?
They can go to historicalconquest.com.
Uh-huh.
No spaces, just the words historical and then conquest.
.com.
And we have all the information on there. We have some videos that are going up of different tournaments, different reviews from people like Board Game Geeks,
uh-huh.
Who is a big reviewer of different games around the world. And we have samples of the cards. We are also on Facebook. We're going on Twitter this weekend. And, come on and check us out.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot. And just give us again the name of the game, the time that people can play, and the date.
Again, it's Historical Conquest. We're going to be playing at the Valley Library next Saturday on the 20th at 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock p.m.
Awesome. Good luck and have fun.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's 3:27, and I'm here in the studio with Cy Khan and Suzanne Little. Welcome, guys.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah, really happy to be here.
When did you get in, Cy?
Yeah, I got in Monday afternoon. You know, it took a little longer than expected. One of the engines was out, and I insisted that we fly on one engine, but the pilots wouldn't listen to me. But it's great, though, because I've been in Mark, because I've been able to catch a couple nights of the Folk Festival.
Oh. Some
amazing music, lots of good conversation. I've never been here before.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's just, aside from the honor of being the guest artist on the Folk Festival, it's a great chance to get to know a part of the world that I barely know.
What do you think of our festival?
You know, it's absolutely amazing. I try to estimate the number of folks that get on stage, and I think it's over 120 acts. So I love the democracy, the openness,
uh-huh.
the varieties of music. It's the first time in my musical life I've ever seen somebody on stage wearing a red fez. I know if I were in Turkey, it might be different. I've never been to Turkey either. And so I think that the thing that I like the most is that it's absolutely a volunteer operation that is free to the community.
Yeah.
It's just stunningly intergenerational. I've heard some 4- and 5-year-old artists on stage, and some of them are really, really good. So I love the spirit of community behind it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You really hit the nail on the head. And who do you have with you today, Cy?
This is my friend and co-musician partner and co-founder of Musicians United to Protect Bristol Bay, which we're going to talk about more later, and not only that, former Alaska State Senator Suzanne Little.
It's a pleasure to be here. Even though it's snowing here, too. We are in Anchorage, where I live, still waiting for spring to arrive also.
Yeah,
happening.
We were pretty shocked this morning at 3 inches of snow. It's usually not like this in June this time of year, but you know, it always changes, so it always keeps us on our toes.
Now, is that something you say to everybody that comes up from North Carolina and encounters, you know, deep snow? Oh, it's usually not like
this.
No,
it's true. This is like, you know, it's usually the best
the
time of year for
then,
us.
Why is it like this only for me? What did I do to deserve
it? Well, it's a blanket of welcome for you.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. So tell us about, you have a really interesting history side. Tell us a little about yourself and your background.
Well, I've spent, I guess at this point, virtually my entire life, over 50 years, as a civil rights union and community organizer. I've, you know, worked in a whole range of issues and campaigns. And that's really what I see as my day job, to be an organizer and to do what organizers do, to help people understand the collective power that they've got and to learn how to exercise that and to use the power of getting together in numbers and throw that against the power of money, the power of position, the power of authority. So, you know, it's not like people who are corporate leaders don't understand organizing principles. They understand them very well. I've chosen to throw my weight in on the side of everyday people, of poor people and working people, and there's enough of us to keep me busy for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But then you know, years ago, I became a musician. And I actually didn't become a professional musician until I was well into my 30s. I was a passionate parking lot picker, which, by the way, alliterates very nicely. And, you know, and never thought of myself as other than a fan. You know, I would sleep out at bluegrass festivals and, you know, every once in a while I'd get in on a jam or something, but it was all at the level of, I love this music. And then in my late 20s, I started writing songs, and when I was 35, I gave my first public performance. So I'm a very late bloomer, but it's been wonderful because it's brought me to places like Bristol Bay, like Alaska, like Juno. And actually, if I had not been a musician, I wouldn't be here now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of obvious, given that I am here for the Alaska
Folk Festival.
Yeah. I don't think I ever would have gotten to Alaska. What happened is that 2.5 years ago, a friend of Suzanne Little's and mine, a guy named Dan Strickland, who's fished commercially in Alaska for 30 years, emailed me, told me what was happening about the proposed Pebble Mine, about the fight to protect the people, the cultures, the communities, the wild salmon of Bristol Bay permanently, and asked if I'd come to Alaska to write a theme song.
Huh.
And one thing led to another, and now Suzanne and Dan and I are working to organize 1,000 musicians around the world to help protect Bristol Bay.
Wow. And you have a history. I think it's really interesting as a union organizer, civil rights organizer, but also environmental issues. And I'm just wondering how you reconcile that. Like, you know, oftentimes people pit jobs against the environment, and sometimes unions are on different sides than environmental groups. How do you reconcile those two things?
You know, Mark, there's no issue that doesn't have people on both sides of it. And that's just one of the realities you have to deal with in any organizing situation. No matter what you're doing, there are people who oppose it. So what you try to do is you try to keep the people who you believe are on the right side as solid as they can, and you try to reach folks who are on the other side to the extent that that's possible. And specifically, you know, when it comes to mining, I want to make it very clear, I am pro-miner. I'm in favor of mining, and I'm in favor of miners, with two conditions. One, it has to be done safely for the people who are doing the work. Everybody knows that coal mining is one of the most dangerous occupations out there. Not, by the way, as dangerous as fishing the Bering Sea. That's even more dangerous.
Yeah.
And when you look at the actual statistics. But the other thing, it has to be done without destroying the future of the world's peoples and cultures. And you can't, the trade-off is just too high a price to be paid. I understand that pits people against people, but there's lots of coal, lots of copper, lots of gold that we can get at safely without endangering people. It's giving people good lives. But we cannot mine when it endangers people's health and safety, and we cannot mine when it destroys the environment and then in turn destroys the capacity of people to make a living. I hear in Bristol Bay, but it's jobs. This will create jobs. The way I read the Pebble Mine, maybe 1,000 jobs would be created. Just the people who fish the bay in the summer, there's 2,000 permits, 3 people to a boat. That's 6,000 jobs right there. You don't risk 6,000 jobs that are already there against pie in the sky. So, you know, it's not easy, Mark. You know, and tempers flare and voices rise and you know, neighbors get set against neighbors, but that's actually called, as a name, it's called democracy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So have you been out to Bristol Bay? Have you seen this place?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been to the whole bay. I've been to Dillingham.
Uh-huh.
Rick Halford, former Republican chair of the Senate, president of the Senate.
My Senate colleague.
Yeah,
Senate
great Alaskan.
We saw Rick in the halls mm-hmm. today. And Rick flew me up in his private plane over the mine site and looked where they were doing the core drilling. And you know, what amazed me is how much water there was. I didn't really know that about Alaska. There's just water everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I know about water, it's like when you look at a tree reflected in a still lake. That's, if it's a hardwood tree, that's actually a portrait of what's underground. If you have a hardwood, you know, an oak, a poplar, the root system underground is as extensive as what you see above. Not true of pine trees. They have a limited root system, which is why they go down so fast in a high wind. Water's the same way. Whatever you see on the surface, there's at least that much under the ground.
Mm.
And you can't have toxic waste in a region that is honeycombed with underwater streams and creeks and rivers and aquifers. It will get into the water system, and it will destroy it. That's an analytical, historical fact.
Mm.
So, yeah, but I love, you know, I fish myself. I'm not commercial. I've never fished commercially, but I do love fishing for sport. I grew up fishing. I love being in waterfront communities. Just being here in Juneau and just walking down the waterfront makes me happy. I like boats. I like wharves. I like lapping waves. And, you know, you sure have got it here.
We do, don't we?
Sure do have it here.
That's great. Do you guys want to play some music for us?
We'd love to.
What do you want to play?
Well, we're going to play something appropriately, Mark, under the circumstances, called Upstream.
All right.
Every night we see the moon ascending from the earth. Each new day we rise up to watch the sun's rebirth. Every month the old moon wanes to give the old moon way. Every year the salmon return to Bristol Bay. Past the shoals and the rapids where the current runs strong.
past 100 different dangers that made me up so long. No matter how impossible the ancient journey seems, the salmon swim upstream. If you were a newborn salmon, if you had your say, would you think it worth the effort to even swim away? Knowing the statistics, everybody learns of all the millions that are born on water to return. Past the shoals and the rapids where the current runs strong, past 100 different dangers that make the odds so long. No matter how impossible the ancient journey seems, the salmon swim upstream. We are like the salmon, we're not like them at all. They number in the millions, our numbers are small. At the end of their journey, not one is left alive. We too are endangered, yet we will survive. Past the mining corporations, whose millions make them strong. Past the paid-up politicians, who string us along. No matter how impossible our way to victory seems, we fight our way upstream. Past the shoals and the rivers where the current runs strong. Past 100 different dangers that make the odds so long. No matter how impossible the ancient journey seems, the salmon swim upstream. The salmon swim upstream.
All right. That was lovely.
Well, thank you.
Is that the theme song you were talking about writing? Is that the one?
Well, Mark, we ended up with 15 theme songs. I assume a lot of the folks that are listening here are going to come on down to the Folk Festival tonight. Suzanne Little and I are performing at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
I'm so honored. I'm the official guest artist. I've just usually been a musician, but I like being the guest artist. I think it's a wonderful. So we actually have 45 minutes on stage. And we'll be doing a range of songs, love songs, funny songs, but also songs about Bristol Bay. And we have here, and hold on now, this is going to really impress your listening audience. I'm just in the process of finishing up a CD called Bristol Bay.
Oh.
And it's 50, well,
right,
six,
so we invited Cy out to write a theme song. He wrote a whole album.
You're an overachiever, Cy.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, my partner and spouse, Elizabeth Minnick, is a feminist philosopher. We've been together forever. When I told her we were, you know, that Suzanne Little and Dan Strickland and I were organizing 1,000 musicians around the world, she said, laughed and said, they don't know you. They ask you to do one song, and this is what they get. They should have known, right? And you know, and we are, by the way, we have a wonderful website. It's www.musiciansunited.info. And, you know, the great Pete Seeger gave this magnificent video. It's 1 minute and 59 seconds in which he really nails it. He's got a map of Alaska behind him. I said to the videographers, you were so smart to bring an Alaska map to pin up behind me. They said, no, it was on the wall. And so here's Pete Seeger proudly holding up a musician.
So he's one of the first members of Musicians United to protect Bristol Bay,
wow,
which is so exciting to me. You know, in the tradition of Pete Seeger, in the belief that music can change people and people can change the world, we're just so excited to have, well, both Cy and Pete together in this cause.
Yeah.
Are you going to go up to the legislature while you're in town, Suzanne?
We did this morning. Uh-huh. We were introduced at the Senate. It was very exciting.
Yeah, I have never been introduced at a Senate anywhere in the world before. Here's Suzanne saying nice things about me to the Senate. It was great. But Mark, if people come tonight to hear us, or any time, the CD Bristol Bay will be out in late June, early July. But we have here a special pre-release Alaska Only Folk Festival 2013 signed and numbered.
Whoa.
Edition. There's only 400 of them in the world, I can swear. And we can swear to it because...
And these are like real CDs already.
Ourselves.
Yes. It's a lot. I signed them because it's my name. Dan numbered them. Suzanne stuck them in the little sleeves, and her husband, Bob Owens, actually stuck the little tab into it.
It was a family function.
And it took a long time. So if you go to John Hatton's booth, where all the sales take place, you can get this. And by the way, We're doing this completely pro bono. Uh-huh. We're not making a dime from it. Every dime for people who buy the CD, every dime goes to support Musicians United, including my artist and songwriter royalties. And we've also got forums where people can say, yeah, I'm a musician. I want to be a part of this. 7 people signed up yesterday. We're about to break 200 folks on our way to 1,000.
Uh-huh. But we're collecting new songs. If people want to write a song about Bristol Bay, about what's special to them, we're actually collecting them, and we've posted several on our website, and they're really great, really great. You know, people's ideas of, you know, what makes their hearts sing about Bristol Bay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. So tell us again, when are you guys on tonight? 8
p.m.
Okay. 8 p.m. And then again on Sunday night on at 9 p.m.
Okay.
And there's also, I don't want to give the whole schedule, but I'm doing 3 workshops. We'll be doing at least a couple of them together. Suzanne just got into town, so we haven't figured it all out.
When are those?
But there'll be a workshop on Musicians United, just people's ideas about how do we work together as musicians, as artists, you know, just... What's our collective voice? Where's the collective power? So we'll have a discussion. I'm doing a sing-along of songs from the Civil Rights and Labor Movement.
Oh, wow. What time is that?
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's see. I think those two are on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm going to guess and say about 3 o'clock. I think that's pretty close. And then on Sunday, I'm doing a workshop that I don't even remember. Oh, I know what it is. It's on songwriting. And it's a question and answer. I'm not going to make a presentation. I just want to say to folks, you know, bring your questions about the art and craft about songwriting. Now, if the question is, how do I get Justin Bieber to do one of my songs, that's a different workshop. This is about how do we write songs? How do we take the experience, our own experience, the experience of other people, how do we turn it into art? And I'm really looking forward. Yesterday we just had an open question and answer. We went for a couple hours. And, you know, really... This is my first time to Juno, but based on what I've seen and heard, I hope it's not my last.
All right.
Got a good community.
You're welcome back anytime, Si.
Thank you. Could we make it in the summer the next time?
we'll have some summer before the week's over, I promise you.
Really?
That's right.
That's great. I understand it can sometimes last as much as 3 or 4 days.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here and have a great visit in Juno. We're going to go out with one of your tunes here. I got Molly Maguire.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Down in the darkness, down at the breaker, close on the midnight hour, steadily working, quietly leaving, trailing a thin line of powder. The little Schuylkill Valley tan is all lit up tonight by flames that lick like tongues from the breaker fire. The tight-lipped coal and iron police won't get much sleep tonight, looking for the sons of Molly Maguire. Together, strong men are hiding their sorrow. Over at Pottstown, they're at the prison. 10 men are hanging tomorrow. I only tried to organize the men I worked among, but I'm hanging in the barn, and will you miss me?
and Monday early, so they say, the mines will open back. The coal and iron police are drinking whiskey.
Cy Conn there from his album Courage. That was Molly Maguire. Cy was telling me that was from a musical he wrote, and he's actually going to be talking to Perseverance Theater about some possible
cool
collaborations. Yeah. Welcome. We have Nancy DeCherney. I'm back on the air with Nancy. This is Mark Wheeler on Juno Afternoon.
Hey.
Nancy from the Arts Council.
And right now it's sunny.
It is. Wow.
Just for this moment. And I want to just, as I was passing through, note that the CBJ facilities guys and Barron's Mechanical got our restrooms up and running
all
just
right.
in time for the dances tonight.
Oh, cool. That would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Thank goodness. Anyway, okay.
Go CBJ.
So, yes, it's
what
Folk Festival. We got Folk Festival all this weekend, which most people know. We also have Wizard of Oz. That's out at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. That's their drama class. Is out. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I believe. There's jam spots going on all over around town, and I'm sure you've talked all about most of these at some point during the day. Tonight at Rockwell at 9 p.m. Tomorrow it's coffee and jam at the Jack. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Dancing and music and all sorts of stuff goes on and on.
It's like a potluck, too, is it?
Huh?
It's like a potluck, too?
I think so. Uh-huh. You know, stuff just goes on and on. It's a good time will be had by all. 2 p.m. is the third annual Lyres and Fiddles Concert over at the State Museum. I just like the title, Lyres and Consorts, or whatever, Fiddles. Anyway, there's a kids' the second Friday teen hip-hop class. There's a Kids Time Arts Academy thing going on at Friday at 3:30. That's at the Charter School. Rumblefish is at Rendezvous at 9 p.m. Chelsea Carthauser is at Rockwell. And the folk rock duo Jake Chavez and Nicole Swenson are at Rockwell at 10 o'clock. Saturday morning, get up bright and early and go out and do the 9 a.m. Heart of Hospice 5K and 1 mile run walk along the Twin Lakes shelters, along the Twin Lakes there. Stop in at the shelter and get, you can pre-register by calling 463-6106. It's a great cause. 10:30 in the morning, coffee and collections. This one's going to be really fun. Have you talked about this one?
No, what is that?
Well, they're doing this ID Day with the Juno Douglas Little Theater, which is celebrating like its 50th anniversary. So
they're
going to have old posters and photos and see if you can recognize different people doing different things.
Because they don't know who they are. They just need to figure it out.
I bet they do, but they just want to see if you do.
Okay. For the quiz.
So it should be lots of fun. That's at 10:30. It's free, and you know, there's coffee from Heritage, and there's usually food and stuff like that. At 11 to 3, there's the Carnival of Hope fundraiser, which is also for Relay for Life at Nugget Mall. And at noon, there's a kids' carnival. There's just carnivals all over the place. What the heck's going on here? At 1 p.m., Balto, A History of Humans, Huskies, and Health in Alaska. This is at the Downtown Library. It's free. And at 2 p.m., the third annual Lyres and Fiddlers Consort at the museum. It's different than the thing earlier. Alaska Pella is in concert out at UAS Housing at 7 p.m. on Saturday. You can, again, see Wizard of Oz on Saturday. 9 p.m., Raisin' Holy Hell at the Rendezvous. On Sunday, it's the Ukulele Jam at Rockwell. And at 3 p.m., it's the Family Movie Afternoon over in Douglas. We can't announce what the name of the movie is, but you can call the library and find out. That's 586-5303. It's always a fun family film, and they have refreshments and all sorts of stuff. 8 p.m., Rumblefish. Monday, Tattoo Nation is being shown at the Gold Town. Check out their website so you can get the full schedule. And you were maybe just talking with Sea Travels, Memoirs of a 20th Century Master Mariner? No.
No.
Okay, fine.
But what is that?
That's on Tuesday at 6:30. That's at the Douglas Library as well. Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Juno World Affairs Council presents the Obama Administration's Pivot from the Middle East to Asia and the opportunities that presents for the Alaska and the West Coast. They get some sort of award for a very cumbersome name for their speech or their thing. They should have a different name. Anyway, on Thursday next week, the first Alaska State Improv Festival begins. So that's kind of what's going on this week.
I don't think there's enough going on, Nancy.
Well, you know, what with that and Folk Festival, you should be able to find something to do, I think.
But no sleep, right?
No, sleep is not necessary. Okay. We're going into the, you know, late nights and whatnot.
Sleep in October.
Yeah, sleep in October when it's raining and dark. That would be the best. So, yeah, lots of exciting things. I want to just remind people that on April 15th, that there are some deadlines. Get your gallery applications in, and also your major grants in.
And where do they do that? How do they apply for that?
Those are online at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Major grant applications are for organizations that are applying for funding from the city and borough. They could do that through us. And we have both a juried art show and our regular annual gallery applications are due. So if you have been thinking about it, it's all online. And if that's a little confusing to people, give a call and Sue or somebody from the Arts Council can help walk you through it. Once you figure it out, it's real simple.
Awesome.
So, all right.
Well, thanks for all you do. I'm going to play now some concert that was at the Jack on Monday night.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, there was only 40 people because of Folk Fest, but it was amazing. And this album is great. It's the Native Jazz Quartet. So thanks so much for coming down, Nancy, and for all
Thank
you do.
Thank you.
Chasuka shatki, chasuka shatki, kaudi icha, hede sas, yekushi tla, du huati kada, aya, he, hi, hi, na, ah, hi, na, ah. Chasuka shatki, kaudi icha, hede sas, yekushi tla, du huati kada, aya, he, hi,
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. Northland Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780. The Glacier Valley Rotary Club presents the 21st annual Pillars of America on April 24th. Here's Sean Harper, a former offensive tackle in the National Football League, as he tells a classic rags-to-riches story and how we are all born choosers at the Pillars of America at Centennial Hall on April 24th. Tickets are available at both locations of Hearthside Books, and lunch is included.
All right, it is 3:56. You're listening to KTO-FM in Juneau. This has been Mark Wheeler on Juneau Afternoon. Tomorrow on a Juneau Afternoon, Pat Moore is going to host. We're going to have Katie Bowsler talking about events at UIS. Kim Naylor from the Juneau Douglas City Museum will be here with a preview of tomorrow's Coffee and Collections presentation, highlighting the Juneau Douglas Little Theater. That's actually on Saturday. We'll meet the McRae Sisters, this year's Alaska Folk Festival dance artists, and Caroline Oakley, the Folk Festival dance caller. We'll also hear a special edition of Bird Note featuring students from Gustavus. And again, if you miss a Juneau Afternoon or want to listen again, you can catch it on and other local, statewide, national, and international news at ktoo.org. Let's do the weather tonight. Numerous snow and rain showers, becoming scattered late snow accumulation around 1 inch, lows around 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of rain and snow in the morning, highs around 46. Looks like Saturday's going to be sunny. And sunny on Sunday with a high around 42. So if you don't like the weather, just wait. Going to read this, the KTOO Juno. This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 in downtown Juno and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. Excursion Inlet at Nicey Strait here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on TCI Cable Juno on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at KTOO.org. So we're going to go out with the Folk Festival Dance Band. This is the McRae Sisters with Get Up in the Cool.
Change is one of the greatest challenges of our generation, and facing that challenge is perhaps the greatest obligation we have.
The president's pick to head the Environmental Protection Agency gets a chilly reception from Republicans.
For Thursday, April 11th, this is All Things Considered.
I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Climate change was the focus of tough questions at Gina McCarthy's confirmation hearing.
A new study finds global warming will mean far more bumpy flights across the Atlantic.
A pilot taking off from New York in the middle of this century to come across the Atlantic to somewhere in Europe will be looking at twice as much.